Welcome to the latest edition of Radio Simply. Yes, that's what I'm calling it. I know I was going to put up a poll asking whether people want to call it Radio Simply or Simply Scripts Radio, but I decided to call it Radio Simply. So, nani nani boo boo, it's my show. Anyway, I think we've got a good one lined up for you tonight. We're going to call this the Inner Sanctum episode, and I'll get to that in a minute as to why we're going to be calling that. But first, like to send out some congratulations to all the writers who completed a script in the one-week challenge. And additional congratulations to those who had their script selected to be produced as an episode of The Dark, which is being produced by our Radio Simply producer, Michael Cornetto. He's already gone to work on some pre-production there. He's got a few roles cast. Pia, who actually wrote the episode Issues, that she's going to be playing Dr. Kruer in, and myself, I will be playing Darcy in Stevie's episode of The Dark, and my beard will be playing Layla's pubic hair. So, you know, you might want to keep out for that probably in the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. Anyway, back to the Inner Sanctum thing. Our guest tonight is somebody that probably writers are going to be referring to as Public Enemy Number One. He is a reader, gatekeeper for the studios, and he's got several years of experience working with studios, and he has been working with two studios off and on recently. Can't go into the names of those studios for obvious reasons, and we won't be giving his full name out here, so we'll just be referring to him as Johnny. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. We got your email. We were really excited. You know, we thought this would be a really good chance to, you know, get a real inside look. You know, we get questions here at the show, and, you know, I try to answer them to the best of my ability, but, you know, the closest I've ever gotten to a studio was taking a tram tour at Universal. So, you know, it's it's nice to get that, you know, I guess, you know, call it top of the mountain feedback and, you know, answers to these questions. Just a quick rundown. I mean, what is a normal day for you as far as, you know, reading goes?
Well, what they'll do is they'll send us material usually at night after 7 o'clock. They'll send us a couple of scripts, sometimes a book. And our job is to turn it in by the due date, which is usually the next day, sometimes in the morning. And so that involves reading the material and then doing a coverage report on it. And it used to be a lot more. It used to be 2 to 3 scripts a night, you know, sometimes even 4. And several on the weekend, and it's closer to one to two a night now.
Now, is that just because they're actually considering less material, or just they're not getting as many submissions? I know there's so many screenplays out there, but is it just they're not making it to that level?
Yeah, you know, things really slowed down substantially after the writer's strike, and they've not really hit that peak again. I think the market's changed a little bit too. I think that with the economy the way it is and everything, there's a lot more work with scripts that have already been purchased and a lot less searching for new material right now.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's what we're doing, is we're reading new material, new submissions, that sort of thing.
Okay, and I mean, is everything that you get, would you believe it's through an agent or, you know, one of the standard submission methods?
Yeah, we get scripts from sort of in three different camps. Either they come from an agent or a manager or even a production company that's trying to put a package together or something like that. We get scripts that are submitted by writers directly, and then material that's internal, something that's in development that's being rewritten, something like that.
Oh, okay. Now, I know when you wrote me in, I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, but you're currently working for two different studios?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that is that something, I guess, obviously wouldn't be – well, maybe it would be a conflict of interest. Is that considered where you're an independent contractor, or you do work for a company?
I'm an independent contractor. It's actually pretty common among the readers as far as I know. I've worked for as many as 3 at one time, and there's no real conflict of interest, because we'll just – give our opinion about whatever the script is. Every now and then something cool will happen, and we'll get the same script for two different studios. So we can just do a copy and paste job, but most of the time, we're getting completely different material depending on the studio.
Okay. And are you doing this and then writing on the side, or are you looking, in acting, or?
I'm writing on the side. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we've got some questions that were submitted to us by some of the members of the Simply Scripts board.
Yeah.
But before I get to those, I'd like to actually take a second to introduce our two panel members tonight, Pia and Phil, and see if they had any questions that they wanted to ask you. How you doing, guys?
Oh, hi. I do have some questions, but I thought, I would wait till your interview was over.
Well, no, I mean, this is all part of the interview. I had my questions, and we're going to take some questions from the board. And, if you guys have any, I think we're kind of open, in this interview.
Okay. Well, I guess, one question that popped to mind is sort of like, first of all, are you required to read every script that they give you to read? Do you have to read it? Do you have to write notes? Or can you just, after a few pages to say, oh, this is complete trash, I don't want to read this because I know it's not going to be anything that somebody's interested in? That would be one question, I think.
We don't get to not read material. That's what we're paid to do. So the executive might not read it, but we reread everything that comes across our desk. There's no time where we'll chuck something. We may sometimes want to if it's real garbage, but we have to read it all the way to the end.
Do you have to write notes too?
Yeah, a coverage report consists of the first page is the information about the script. So it's the title of the script, the author, the executive or whoever it's been submitted to, who submitted it, page count, all that kind of stuff. We do a recommendation on the script and the writer. There's a log line that we'll write, a brief about what's good or bad about the script, and then we'll rate different elements of the script, the plot and the characters and so forth. Following that is a synopsis, anywhere between 1 and 3 pages, and then following that is about a page in notes.
Okay, this leads me to another question then. If some scripts are, like you said, complete garbage, how did they make it to you?
Well, there's any number of ways. I suppose there's not really a crap filter, I guess, for a better way. We are the crap filter as the readers. So there are some executives that will take virtually any material that somebody wants to submit to them. There are others that are much, much more selective. Mm-hmm. But material comes in, via either an agent, and the agent can be kind of anybody. It just depends on what level of the executive too. There are lower level executives that get lower level material, and there are those further up the food chain that get real good scripts. Very rarely is there anything that's not very good. I would say that most of the time, honestly, it's like a bell curve, the material that's submitted. You have the really sort of junky scripts on one side, but there are just very few, and the really good scripts on the other.
And they are
very
few too?
Yeah, and everything else is just falls somewhere in the middle. Most scripts, honestly, are average.
Now, when you say average, are you talking, story, characters, dialogue, et cetera, or just the writing itself?
I would say any combination of that. I would say that the scripts aren't bad. They're not poorly written. They're not just horrible shoot yourself in the head kind of scripts. They're just average. They get the job done. They hit all the marks. They follow all the rules in the books and do all the things that the gurus say you're supposed to do. But there's a lack of a really strong concept, or there's a lack of a really good voice in the writing, or something that just makes it so that it doesn't really excel as a piece of material.
Okay, then I have a question there, because there's a lot of discussions, especially on the forums and stuff like that, about the importance of punctuation and blah, blah, grammar, this and that. When you read a script, would you, if something is not perfectly written, but the story is really, really good. Do you give any negative marks because the English or the grammar or whatever is not 100% there, or is that crucial to you?
No, I would say that a bad grammar wouldn't. If there you've got a good story and bad grammar, then we would give that a consideration for the story. The grammar's not really going to stop a script from being considered. It's very rare. I can't think of very many times that I've read a script that had just atrocious grammar. Maybe something that's wrong here or there, but you know, most of the time it's as another thing. Like there's a lot of attention paid to things like camera angles in a script. And honestly, I don't really care about camera angles in a script. I'm speaking just for myself here, but it's not a big deal to me. I think it's a non-issue. A lot of attention gets paid to that, and it just doesn't happen that often. Most of the time, I think writers have gotten the message. There's not a lot of camera angles in screenplays. I just think it's something that the gurus get to kind of say, okay, don't do this. And so all this attention is paid to it, but it's really kind of a non-issue.
Okay, I think what I meant there is the people like myself that maybe English is not the first language that I know a lot of people that are from other countries that are amazing writers, you know, and they really know how to paint really visual stories and make a good intriguing story that people can the language might, not be, perfect. So I guess that was my question. If, you guys are willing to look past that and consider, you know, that there are foreign writers out there too that might be excellent storytellers, but not necessarily English language smithers, you know.
Yeah, I don't see it that often. I do remember a script that I read that was written by a Nigerian guy, and it was it had some of what you're talking about, kind of a little bit of broken English, just a little bit, but it was fine. I mean, the way that screenplays are written anyway, they're not properly. If it's written well, I think personally, it doesn't have a lot of words in it. It doesn't have complete sentences. You've got short, punchy sentences in there, you know, phrases and so forth that are in there, getting the point across as quickly and as concisely as possible. And so, you know, I honestly don't want to read a script that has a bunch of complete sentences in it and that follows grammar exactly. Yeah. I want to read something that is visual and that gets the point across quickly and concisely.
That makes me happy.
No, I mean, with all that stuff, too, I mean, you get across concisely. So, obviously, I mean, you're looking for something that flows, reads quickly without getting, too flowery, but can still, maintain your interest without really being, 100%, buried within the screenwriter's Bible.
Yeah, my personal pet peeve, and I'm sure every reader has their own, but mine is a script that's overwritten, something that has just too much description, too many characters, too redundant scenes. I the first thing we'll look at when we get a submission is we'll look at who it's for and maybe what the title of the script is, and then we'll flip to the back and see how long it is. And usually if it's something like a 145 page script, I'm going to be a little bit frustrated because we get paid by the script, not by the page. So I'm going to be thinking, well, great, I could have had a 95-page script tonight, and here I've got one that's 45 pages longer than that. Or is that 55?
I did write.
That's why I'm a reader. I don't do math. And usually that sets us our suspicions up that, here's something that if something's really long, then that generally means that there's probably a problem with structure or the first act is too long or something's going on. Not always. I recommended a 145 page script once, but most of the time it's a sign that there might be a larger problem.
I read Inglourious Basterds. It was like 160 or something.
Yes, well,
really good.
Yeah, people will always kind of bring up the James Camerons and the Quentin Tarantino.
I know.
These guys write these huge long scripts, but I would. Just speaking as a reader, I don't want to read a big long script. I mean, if it's a good script, then I'd take that back. But when I'm my first impression when I'm looking at it, if it's a big long script, I'm thinking, oh, There we go.
Okay, so how do you, when you open up a script, okay, you see the first page, you don't read the words, you just see the first page, okay? How do you feel if the page really is like no dialogue and it's just a bunch
of... It's dense?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that affect you right away?
That makes me sigh a little bit too. Yeah. I mean, again, we put forth the effort to read everything we're given. So it's just we're just making a snap judgment here. Okay, here's a writer that writes really densely. And if it continues throughout the script, then it might get a bit frustrating to read because the chances are that the writer is using too many words. He doesn't need to use. I honestly never get to the end of a script and think, I wish this writer used more description. I wish this writer explained things more. We get it usually. There's not really a time where I'll read a scene or something like that. Even if somebody just puts interior house day and they don't describe the house at all, I can pull a house, you know, out of the Rolodex in my head and plug it into the story and just fine. I'm not going to have any problems if you don't describe the house.
So in other words, terse is better than too wordy.
For me, yes. There's a nice symbiosis between a writer and a reader if it's written well. It's rare. It doesn't happen all the time, but if you're reading something that's just been written exactly in the language of a screenplay where you've got nice brief, great sentences, great use of words. There's not a lot of excess language in there that's just not necessary. You're getting across what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and what they're saying and what's happening, and just boom, you look up and suddenly you're on page 70. You had no idea you've been reading this whole time.
Okay. Now there's a lot of scripts that, you know, just one way or another, you know, they landed in my inbox. And I've seen a trend lately where it seems like a lot of the stuff, at least things that are out there and they're going to be produced, they're incredibly long. And I don't know if that's, you know, we were just talking about the length of stuff. You know, you get 95 page scripts. I would think that, you know, you see a fair amount of different writers going around and, you know, you might get these scripts and, you know, they ultimately end up being produced. Do you see that, you know, the established writers who are, you know, have been produced, you know, have a good chance of being produced again, tend to go a little more overboard as opposed to, you know, the newer writers?
Well, I think that if you've got a good story, then you can kind of forget what I'm saying about page count. If you've got something that fits well within those pages that you've written, then you're good. Again, I recommended a 145 page script once, so it's not like we'll just go, he wrote too much, pass. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there's any writer or reader worth his salt that would pass on something because of the length. Provided that you've got a good story within those pages, I think you're just fine.
Okay.
But
so,
that's kind of a big gray area because, like I said before, a lot of times you'll think that it's a good story that fits within those pages, but it's really not. It's too long. It's got too, you're using way more words than you need to, way more description. You've got characters that can be combined. You've got redundant scenes, all that stuff.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Log lines and synopsis, is that something that you don't really care about? It's the people that, before you, that decide that you are eventually going to get the script. Is that more their part, or do you
we actually write the log line and the synopsis for the script. We write it. So I'll get to, you know, I'm reading a script. I take notes as I read it so that I can write the synopsis, which, by the way, is a great tip for people. If you want to identify scenes or redundancies in your script, have somebody take notes as they read it and then try and write a synopsis of what they've read in as few pages as possible. And you'll see that there are scenes here that just don't need to be there.
That's interesting.
Or you might not even take notes. I do this all the time. I'll take notes, and then as I'm writing the synopsis, I'll realize now that I'm at the end of the script, this scene was completely useless. I don't even need to include it in the synopsis. And I'm a completely impartial party, so I'm not thinking, well, I have to include this because this is my baby. I can remove it. But no, we write the log line, we write the synopsis. So I was listening to your show actually a couple of weeks ago, the ones where you guys were talking about log lines, and I kind of smirked because I've written I don't know how many hundreds of log lines.
But you know, that's one thing I think that a lot of people like myself, I really, really stink at them, and I really, really stink at writing synopsis too. But somehow I feel that that is such a crucial thing to get somebody to even look at the script. So I was just wondering if the, like I said, the people that decide that you are going to read the script, do they just go by our logline and synopsis, or is it more like connections or whatever?
Actually, they're just submitting a script, so they're taking our synopsis and our logline that the reader has written. Actually, I've gotten a few scripts that had synopsises and loglines already on them. We write a new one for it and a new logline.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I never knew that. Okay, well, I guess we can move on to the member submitted questions now. First one comes from Johnny Boy. I guess that's fitting, another Johnny.
Nice name, yeah.
Yeah. His first question is, will you read my screenplay? But you know, he says, not really. He says he'd like to know, I guess if this is something that you can share, an amusing story about the worst opening line / scene you've ever encountered, a true stinker that stays with them. He says he remembers reading Interior New York Tomorrow in something once, which he thought was a particularly fine opening slug.
Actually, I like that. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's funny. I remember the first ones. I don't remember the latest ones. I remember the first really kind of bad script that I read really vividly, and it was the first page. It was the first line on the first page of the first scene, and it was this guy looking this woman up and down, and he said, "Oh yeah, you are a really hot babe," and I just went, "Oh, this is not going to be."
What's wrong with that? That sounds natural.
I read that a couple years back.
Yeah. Oh, is that you?
You never got back to me.
Yeah, that sounds
style. Actually, though, the worst script I ever read, honestly, was not even badly written. It was just, and you have to pardon my French here, but it was a writer jerking himself off for 120 pages. He had he was reliving his glory days of high school, and
he's a member of SS now.
Is that who it is? Yeah, it was really a struggle to read it because this guy was. I actually was so frustrated by the script that I looked him up, and he's trying to be an actor, and kind of trying to, he sort of thought he was Ferris Bueller, and it was just such a self-serving script that, it was really frustrating. Most of the time we don't have that kind of reaction. We're much more clinical, but, that script was frustrating to read because it was so disingenuous and so self-serving.
So you think that was actually a case of somebody writing what they know backfiring, or they were just, you know,
I looked the guy up. This was this guy trying to write his life story. And, you know, who's it that said that? Dennis Hopper, just because it happened to you doesn't mean it's interesting. It was pretty much that.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, everybody has their own dreams and aspirations.
He asked the question, so this is probably why readers aren't favored among the writing, the masses. But yeah, most of the time we actually aren't allowed to be really negative in our coverage. We can't be mean. We also can't be really glowing about our coverage. We have to kind of walk a line.
Well, yeah, I'm of the opinion that, you know, I mean, especially from what you said here, I think that readers get a bum rap. I mean, you know, there's a common misconception, you know, oh yeah, a reader gets something, and if they don't like the first two pages, you know, and if they're not ready to give the writer the Academy Award, they're going to throw in the trash, and that's it. You know, I always had some suspicion that, you know, you guys are paid to read scripts. You read the script, you know, whether you like it or not. Right.
And, you know, there's actually a lot more to it. We rate different elements of the script between excellent and poor. There are we actually give two different recommendations. We give a recommendation for the writer and for the script itself. So sometimes the script may get a pass, but the writer could get a consider.
Then I have a question there. Does the writer of the script ever get to see the coverage?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that depends on maybe if it's a personal favor coming through an executive or something like that. There are times where we'll get what's called anonymous coverage, which is there's no cover page. We don't know who the author is. We don't know the title of the script. And we just do coverage on what's called a confidential script.
Is that because there's the chance that, you know, somebody will read, oh yeah, you know, Tarantino wrote this script, you know, that it'll actually
actually that I don't know, maybe. Most of the time, though, I think it's just, let's, you know, this is my buddy. Let's see. Let's just get him some coverage, something like that.
Okay. All right. Our next question.
I read the Invention of Lying, which I think Ricky Gervais wrote, right? But when it came through, there was no author. The author was blanked out.
Yeah, he had something to do with it. I don't know if he did the script or at least he came up with the story for that one. Our next question comes from our resident all-around fun girl, Sandra E. And I think this one's a pretty basic question. You should be able to answer this one right away. Do you prefer reading or writing?
If I want to be lazy, then I'll read. I prefer reading, but no, I prefer writing. That's actually a much deeper question because it kind of goes to the core of what a reader does and how this kind of position can sort of become a trap for some readers because you can kind of become very complacent and sit back and think you're awesome doing this. And, it's really nothing of the sort. So, the only reason why nobody's going to become anything being a reader. You're just going to be a reader the rest of your life. It's a stepping stone kind of position. You want to become a reader. At least I did because I wanted to learn about how to write a screenplay and what was good about screenplays and what wasn't and what worked and what didn't. And that's why I sort of angled to get myself the job.
And I mean, you found that
and
this
so
is
I,
really
I'm
helpful.
Trying to do, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, the only downside is that I've been doing this for a couple of years now. And again, you get complacent and you get lazy. And so I've been trying to kick myself in the butt over the past year to get some actual writing done because, it's very easy to feel like you're being creative with other people's work, but you're really not. You're just doing coverage. You know, mm-hmm. It's not a creative, we do write notes and there's a creative element to that and stuff, but, I want to start writing my own material again. Yeah.
I have a couple of questions that one may be too frank. I don't know, but I'm not American. So, you know, forgive me. So I have two questions. Okay. First of all, being a reader, does it pay well? And second, what suggestions do you have for us wannabes out here?
It pays okay. We get paid anywhere between, I don't know, say $60 and $100 per script, depending on how soon they want it and who you're working for. I think there are even places that may pay more. If you're reading a book, then they might pay per page. Sometimes they pay a flat rate of something like, I don't know, $200 or $300 for the first 250 pages and then $50 each additional 100 pages or something like that. And as far as the how do you get read, that's most of the material. When we get material, the writer has already gone through all the legwork. He's got himself represented or he's contacted an executive who's agreed to receive a submission, or he's gone to some small production company or something like that and gotten his material into their hands. So I'm really not aware of any, back doors or secret handshakes or anything like that that would, kind of bypass the typical, you know, query letters and, all the other ways that you writers have to slog through to get their stuff out there.
Yeah, but you know what? We have your email now.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
now, do you see, I mean, when you get the scripts, you get the cover page for the most part with the author's info on it. Do you see any certain pattern? I mean, are things more confined to the larger cities? Do scripts come from all over? Are there any places where you wouldn't think that a lot of scripts would come from, but they do?
You know, I don't really look at that, honestly. I would say very rarely actually is there an actual address, you know, with a city and a state. And if there is, it's the manager or the agent's address. And it's usually LA, sometimes New York. And then I should say occasionally that we get stuff from Europe. We get stuff from the UK and London.
Okay, because there's a lot of talk where it's, you know, yeah, you have to live in L.A. to be a writer.
No, it wouldn't affect my decision whatsoever if somebody's script said it was from Kansas. That doesn't affect our reading of the script at all.
Okay. Well, I'm getting.
You just be sure that you're going to read all the scripts that come from Florida soon. Okay.
All right. Well, no, there's not a. You know, I don't want to go too long because I think you were just about to say that we have to cut off.
No, but, actually, I was going to start wrapping up, but there's a couple things I was going to try to squeeze in for you. But go ahead.
I was going to say that the one thing I can tell you is it's very rare. We'll have a meeting, a reader meeting. Well, they buy us a cheap lunch and give us some water, and they sit us down and they tell us what they want us to look for. And every time they insist that we find we write in our notes something about the writer. They want us to focus on talking about the writer. I mean, they're looking for good material, but they are also looking for writers. And I think that that gets forgotten with all the attention on format and not using camera angles and following all these specific rules and making your script perfect is, and I think that that's why there are so many scripts that are just average, because they aren't, you've got a writer that's not making his voice unique. And that would be my one recommendation or my one tip or whatever you want to call it for writers that are trying to get noticed is try and write with a voice that's unique, that gets you noticed. Because there are two recommendations that we have on our coverage reports. One's for the script, but the other is for the writer. And I think that other one for the writer is forgotten when everybody sort of thinks, all right, well, if they like my script, they're going to like me. And we consider the writer too. I actually read something just the other day where the script was okay, but the dialogue was excellent. And I gave a consider for the writer and specifically said, this guy knows how to write dialogue. So that would be my recommendation is try and get a voice, you know, make your voice unique because there are so many voices in the chorus that everybody sort of thinks I can write something just as good as that. You don't want to write something that's just as good as that. You want to write something that makes you stand out and be noticed. That knocks us on our socks. That's what they're looking for. Or at least that's what they've told us.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely, you know, good info to have. And I mean everything that you've shared with us tonight has been really good info.
I think this has been a fantastic show, really.
Yeah, I actually it feels like we just hit record like 2 minutes ago. This actually just flew by, you know. but no, I mean, great episode. At least in my opinion, you know, hopefully we'll get, you know, those one or two people to chime in. I know on our last episode, we got a comment and I opened it up and looked at it and it was, hey, the script for Up is available online. So, you know, thanks to that guy for, you know.
No, this one is special. This, you did really well. This one is, I think, our first step into the into much more quality area. Okay, so this was excellent in my opinion.
I really appreciate you coming on. Yeah, definitely nothing to do with me. You know, Johnny reached out. He sent the email to us. We responded. We were glad to have him on. You know, glad to, you know, hopefully we could you know, put an end to some of these arguments that we've had on the board for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years about rules and all the other good stuff. And, you know, hopefully in the future when you're free, you know, we can have you on again. And I know you said that you had just started a podcast yourself.
Yeah, actually, I totally forgot that I'd mentioned that. Yeah, I was going to say, too, I'm happy to come back anytime. I enjoy kind of imparting the little bit of stuff that I've learned. I mean, what was the point otherwise? I've been doing this for so long, you know, what's the point? So
yeah, and there's a lot of people that, you know, certainly want to hear it, myself included. Can you give out the name of the podcast? I mean,
sure. It's called the Team X Cast, and it's a podcast about video games and movies. We just started, I don't know, I would say a month ago. And it's just me and a couple friends of mine just kind of shooting the ball about video games and movies.
But now you're going to be bombarded with people sending you scripts.
Well, we're not giving away any content.
But, you know, I will say that I don't have any more power to get your script read than anyone else that you might bombard.
I've got your email address under lock and key, so don't worry about that. Anyway,
I know where you live, Shelton.
Yeah, you know what town I live in. Okay. Johnny, thanks a lot for coming on. We ran over, but that's all right because this was a really great show. Thanks to Pia and Phil. You talked too much this time around.
Each time I tried to ask some questions, people started screaming at the microphone. What can I do?
All right. Well, you know, we'll get you on the next go-around. Till next time, take care, everybody. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you.